the rest of the story. The winter beginning December 1739 was the coldest that anybody in Russia could ever remember. And so it was that the Russian Academy of Sciences embarked upon a program of experiment relating to ice. Anything and everything to do with ice. Such was the abundance of ice during that frigid season that the scientists felt compelled to make the most of it. And so it turned out did the Empress Anna Ivanova. For at the whimsical suggestion of one of her courtiers, the supreme ruler of all Russia commanded the construction of a palace, a full-size palace made entirely of ice. Now the courtier had conceived this as an amusement, at least, as a challenge to the country's artisans and builders and scientists. But the Empress had something else in mind, and that is the rest of the story. Absolutely everything that one could hope to see in a palace made of stone could be found in the Empress Anna's ice palace. Now, bear in mind that no other materials were used in the construction or in the appointments. Everything, the walls, the stairs, the baroque balustrades were ice. The cornices and the columns, everything was made of ice. Even the window panes, even the decorative figurines and the furniture. There were four-poster beds and chairs and tables and chandeliers, even a clock and a commode, all made of ice. And on the card table in the drawing room, a complete deck of playing cards made entirely of ice. The sculpture throughout the ice palace was magnificent to behold. Statues, of course. But on the icy grounds of the palace were ice flowers and ice trees, complete with ice birds perched delicately on their ice branches. In the courtyard stood a great cannon made of ice and ice only, which nonetheless fired real charges, and a pair of ice dolphins which breathed flames of ignited naphtha, and a life-size ice elephant that could squirt water out of its trunk in a stream 250 feet high. And yet, as marvelous as this architectural and artistic marvel was, its main function, as the Empress Anna was to reveal shortly after the new year, 1740, its primary purpose was to serve as the setting for the most grotesque practical joke in all Russian history. For among her courtiers was the Prince Michael Golitsyn, an honored field marshal, a distinguished educator, a statesman, but nonetheless, he scorned the decadent Empress. So scorned, in fact, was she, that she ordered the prince to marry somebody else. She ordered him to marry the ugliest woman in the land, and further decreed that the hapless couple should be stripped of their clothing and then sealed up in the ice palace for their wedding night. Now, Russian history, as all history for that matter, abounds with accounts of unconscionable cruelty. But from this day forward, you will neither forgive nor forget the mad monarch who conceived and carried out the most monstrous marriage ceremony of all time. And yet, to the Empress's astonishment, you know, those newlyweds whom she had sought to entomb instead emerged from their cold, elegant grave the following morning, alive, even well, more miraculously still, in love. For sometimes the poets tell us a rose blooms in the abyss, as it did in that bitter Russian winter 2.5 centuries ago, when a tiny spark burst into a blaze that warmed two souls in a palace of ice. And now you know the rest of the story.